You're listening to Don't Take Bullshit from Fuckers with your hosts Greg Barrett and Kane Holloway.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. We're back. We took a week off. We're real. We're real people. Today, I'm Kane Holloway.
I'm Greg Barron. This is your real podcast.
Fuck yeah, it is.
I think the clip shows are better. I think the clip shows are better than our show.
Segment our little voices, just like two quick 3-minute things or whatever, 2-second little verbs.
Yeah. Keeps us from rambling.
Yeah.
It's just jokes. Like, the music's good.
You're sucking your own dick right now. The music's good. It's your music.
Fuck. Oh, it is good. Oh my God, you're right. It's super good.
It is. Look, and don't get me wrong.
And I am sucking my own dick right now.
It's good to be back. It's weird to take a week off, but it's good to be back. We have so much. We had so much before we took a break. Now we're overloaded. Yeah. You guys have really come to play this week. A lot of emails we got, voicemails we got, Instagram messages. You guys really came at the show in the last couple of weeks, so we really appreciate it. iTunes reviews, I mean, good Lord. Thank you for all the love and support. And if you want to email into the show, dtbffpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
It's that easy.
Yeah, or messenger us on Instagram.
On Instagram at dtbffpodcast.
Am I saying that right? Messenger us? That's not how you say that.
Oh no, it's as if you are gaining in dementia and we need to reel you back.
Yeah, totally.
Slide into the DMs, Greg.
Do people still say slide into the DMs?
People love saying slide into the DMs. It's the new favorite one.
All right.
Yeah, so slide into our DMs. Give us some memes, give us something that you thought was inspirational that then bummed you out when you realize it's stupid. That happens on the show all the time.
Mm-hmm. Or message Drake.
Yeah.
Or message Drake. You could message him too.
You can call him on his cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Why Drake? I mean, it's not really an obscure reference, but
True and you. I really, when cell phone was a big song 5 years ago, mm-hmm. I think 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
True and I used to really love that song. We crank it up when we're driving to school. And then one day I realized what it was about and I didn't know how to deal with it.
It's like that Arrested Development episode where Michael and Maybe sing Afternoon Delight and Maybe he's his niece and they're like singing it thinking it's just a real fun little song. And then they realize it's about afternoon sex. You're like, go that way.
It's exactly it. Just get out of the car. Get out of the car. I can't.
Yeah, man. You want to jump into it?
Let's do it.
But first of all, like we talked about, I guess, what was it, 2 weeks ago? When we had a listener email in about feeling like she was being taken advantage of by somebody she met on the dating apps and was just like maybe their fuck buddy. And she was wanting to send messages. She wanted to send a message saying like, hey, what's up with us? And then he wasn't responding. So she kept sending messages and we kept being like, no, don't do that.
Don't delete, send those messages. Oh,
delete.
Yeah.
That, I mean, you could do that for anything. As much as we want to help you not take bullshit from fuckers, one of the things is not sending that message. A great way to not take bullshit from fuckers is maybe just delete that. Maybe write it all out, read it out loud, feel empowered, but just don't send it. You know, just don't send it.
Yeah. You can say it after you say things too. Like sometimes a mirror will say, I hope that guy dies in a fiery crash. And I'll say, delete that. Don't want that energy out there. Delete.
Yeah, it's a lot of that. Screaming into a pillow. You know, sometimes maybe the message is not worth sending.
Yeah.
But just delete it. Delete. That's what we want to say. But don't, when it comes to this show, send, I always say when it comes to this
send,
show.
Send.
We got one in from Anonymous. It says, fucker in the workplace. Hey. Your podcast gets me through my work days, which is incredibly fitting because I am dealing with an immense amount of fuckery. To start, I work in a male-dominant industry, and I have for years now, and I have managed to climb the ladder over time, which I am incredibly proud of myself for. About a year ago, I started at my current place of work and was brought on as a team lead They gave me great benefits, a good salary, but most importantly, the prospect of rising into a higher position, which would be the top position I could obtain with my educational background and what I have been working towards since getting my degree. A month ago, they started giving me extra work in preparation for a promotion that was to take place on August 1st, which I graciously accepted because I don't shy away from hard work. The morning of August 1st.
I do.
Yeah, I know.
I do.
I got to do what? Let's just not. The morning of August 1st, an email goes out congratulating my coworkers. Let's name him Brennan. That sounds like a dick's name. My boss pulled me aside and said that I didn't get the promotion because it is a male-dominant industry for a reason. Did she send this email in 1960?
Holy shit.
Are you a fucking time traveler?
That's unreal.
I know. And it should stay that way.
Fuck.
And that women are too emotional for a position like this, and that high emotions can affect consistency. Oh, no.
Can't she just take this straight to HR?
Yeah. He then added that as a woman, I wouldn't be able to handle the physical aspects of the job, and that if I want to move up, I have to grow some balls and learn to swing my dick around.
Holy shit. That's a class action lawsuit. We're all going to sue.
Yeah, exactly. We're affected by this. We're going to get a piece. This company's going down. So do I leave and let them win or stay and keep going above and beyond for a company that will never appreciate me? Feel free to paraphrase. It's a novel of an email. My bad. Love the show. You're all incredible. Much love from Canada. Canada? The Canadians are like this? I don't know the Canadians. I thought they were nice people with their hats and their muskets. Much love from Canada Anonymous. Yeah, how do you not immediately take this to HR and sue the pants off this company so they can see their fucking naked balls in the wind?
Yeah, I mean, how do you say that to somebody? I mean, how that person, like, fuck you, dude. That's incredible. He basically told her there's no moving up for her.
Yeah. So I'm curious what the job is that, I don't know, there's some political aspect to it. And on top, there's always politics in any kind of job, but it's also physical. It's a physical job. And because what? You have mostly men doing the physical work. She can't do it. She can't lift or whatever. So in that way, she's out of the running because she's a woman. I don't know what the job is. Either way, whatever it is, she would be part of a team lead. You know what I mean? Like it's all kind of confusing. She's the team lead, which then still requires her to do some sort of physical activity.
Yeah. I wish she told us what she did.
Yeah. It's just, what do you think you live in nowadays that you're like, that's okay to say, hey, let me pull you in real quick. Okay. Anonymous. The reason you didn't get it. Almost like a father figure, almost like a comforting presence. Like, hey, kind of like you feel like it's my time is coming. You know, maybe his arm is around her and he's like, just want to let you know real quick. The reason you didn't get it, and it's not because you're not good at your job. It's because you're a lady, bro. Fuck you.
I can't believe that kind of thinking still exists. And I can't believe somebody would give voice to it. Yeah. But maybe Canada's fucked up.
Maybe. Yeah. I think absolutely take this to HR, sue. Yeah, they need some sort of comeuppance. And then also, fuck that job. If that's the ideals of that job and the position you're trying to get to, and they're just not going to move you up. So what do you got to do? What do you got to do in what they already deem you unworthy because you're a woman? So then what do you have to do? You have to then be harder. You got to be more shitty in this industry. Swing your big dick around and then show how much of a boss you are. Well, then what do you think the double standard is coming around the corner? Oh, look at her. She's all women in power.
She's emotional.
She's too emotional. She's
too emotional.
Too rigid, too mean. She's got resting bitch face. You know, it's like, you're not going to win. You're not going to win. You could go hard or you could fucking bounce. I would sue and leave. That's what I think.
Yeah. If he literally said dick in the conversation, you need to take it to HR.
Yeah. How can you not? It's all evidence.
Yeah. Please keep us apprised of what you do. Follow up on it with this because we'd like to know.
We'd love to know. Please.
We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, are you sick of taking bullshit from fuckers and want direct help from Greg and myself? We hold a bi-monthly workshop on Zoom for people who not only want to stop taking bullshit from fuckers, but want to recognize fuckers before they even smell the bullshit. We have helped many people from our workshops. Previous attendees have said, thank you for the tune-up, DTBFF crew. I will definitely utilize this again and again. Go to donttakebullshitfromfuckers.bigcartel.com to secure your seat and stop taking bullshit from fuckers. You can also find this link in the show's description.
This is the theme song for What Does This Mean Song. The theme song for What Does This Mean Song. We'll read a self-help quote, and they're definitely not memes. Memes are something completely different than quotes. Quotes are supposed to help you through all the bullshit in your life. And memes are like that poster of that cat hanging from a tree. And it says, hang in there, baby, or Mondays, am I right? Mondays, am I right? So if you can think of a different title, then we'll probably change it.
Somebody sent me a message to my personal Instagram, at Kane Holloway. Seamless plug. You know, this whole episode is so seamless. Love it. Even without Pat's editing, which already makes it super seamless. I mean, we're just fucking superstars over here. Can I say super again? Jesus Christ. Cut that out. Cut this all out. her name is Aoife. Aoife Fitzgerald says, if this was an email, the subject line would be, dogs don't like auto-tune. So my dog is really not a fan of the meme song. He barks when it's playing, and I've taken to lowering. I've taken to lowering the volume when I know it's about to start. I even think he can hear it a little bit when I'm wearing headphones because he barks at all the right moments. Shit. Today, when I was listening, I knew my dog was lying out in the back garden and wouldn't be able to hear from where he was, so I didn't adjust the volume. To my surprise / great sadness, I heard through the walls of my house the dog from next door crying and howling. I can only equate it to the auto-tune phenomenon. Love the podcast. Thanks for putting it out. I'm Irish and my name is pronounced Aoife. If you haven't heard this name before, much love, Aoife. Oh my God.
That's amazing, Aoife. Thank you for writing in.
Yes, thank you, Aoife. You know what's so funny is when I first brought this song on, it got much praise to my legitimate surprise. And then it's just taken on this tone where everyone's like, it's the theme song. And now we're finding out that it's so unlistenable that dogs hate it. Oh, shit.
Yeah. I'm going to play it for my dogs.
Okay. Yeah, please.
And see how they feel about it. They might be okay with it.
We got some memes in from you guys. Daria sent one to us at DTBFF podcast. I accept that my fears are not reality. They're not a fact. They're just some stupid shitball thoughts that exist nowhere except my mind.
I mean, you don't hear shitballs a lot in self-help quotes.
You certainly don't.
I don't know who the poet is that wrote that, but that is beautiful.
Shitball.
What a beautiful meme. Shitballs. Some shitball thoughts.
You're just filled with shitballs, stupid. Just stop stressing yourself out. You're just full of shitballs. And then Nick, N-I-C, sent one to us that says, let us rise up and be thankful, for if we didn't learn a lot today, at least we learned a little. And if we didn't learn a little, at least we didn't get sick. And if we got sick, at least we didn't die. So let us all be thankful. Buddha.
That was Buddha?
Buddha.
Yeah, on a bad day.
Buddha was having a rough day.
Not every quote of Buddha's is awesome. That was, Pat fell asleep during it. And if you're not sick, then, but if you are sick, then at least you didn't die. And if you didn't die, well, then there's tomorrow, or I don't fucking know. I don't know, man. I just walked up this hill. and I'm fucking exhausted. Have you seen me? I got a big old belly. I don't know. I don't know. Do I have to come up with something every day? Do I have to think of something every day? Get off my backs, people. I'm the fucking Buddha. Just give me a break.
You know,
you're not sick. You're not dead. I don't know. I don't fucking know. And I also don't care. You know what else? I don't care. Today, I don't care. I don't need you to feel better.
I'm the goddamn Buddha. You know those, like, you know those old videos of when Elvis was really overweight and he was like really high all the time and he couldn't remember lyrics to his songs at live shows and shit. That's what this feels like.
I'm just done.
I have one that says history repeats itself first as a tragedy, second as a farce.
Well, that's uplifting.
Yeah, I liked it because you know what? Maybe I'm in a mood. Maybe I'm in a Buddha mood. I love how though we've turned Buddha into some, like, he's just sick of it. He's just done with it kind of guy.
Yeah, he's done. He's just done.
I got a real Buddha mood going on right now.
Yeah.
I got Buddha vibes because I picked this one. I don't know what kind of mood I'm in, but history repeats itself first as a tragedy, second as a farce. I'm assuming maybe I'm just thinking about my dad. You know, just like thinking about just don't do what he did. Just don't do what he does.
That's fair. That's good. That's a good way of looking at it.
I've got one here. If COVID found the time to become a new version of itself, so can you.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Yeah, people, you're not tapping into your Delta variants. Come on.
That was by our friends over at Dateable Podcast.
Oh, shit.
They wrote that?
They reposted it.
They reposted it. Man, that's a great one.
Damn.
At the end of the year, we should do quote of the year.
Oh, my God, Greg, that's genius.
We'll do quote of the year, and that's got to be up there.
That's up there for sure. Shit.
That's a really good one. And also, you're not for everybody is one of my favorites.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Also, exhausted, don't give a shit anymore, Buddha. Whatever quotes come from him are my new favorite quotes.
If you're sick or if you're not sick, I don't know what your problem is. You're in a relationship that doesn't work. Your girlfriend doesn't like you. Look, I've had it up to fucking here. I've heard all of it and I don't fucking care. Here's today for Buddha. I don't fucking care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
Here's today for Buddha. FYI, I could give a shit.
I could give a shit.
He's just holding his stomach. I have eaten too much today. I have had, it's Buddha's cheat day.
It's all red vines.
Ah, fuck. Over at dtbffpodcast@gmail.com, Kate Riley sent us. She says, hello, I've now heard this quote word for word from two of my managers at different times, and I think it's a self-help quote used to help convince themselves only. I considered it fuckery to say to employees, if work was supposed to be fun, they'd call it play.
If today, your boss says that, you're allowed to choke him to death.
Yeah. Today, when I heard this said again, I instantly thought of the show. I'm a GGE listener who's now binging DTBFF. Absolutely love listening. KPK. Yeah. If work was fun, guys, gather around. We have a Buddha quote. Guys, if work was fun, they'd call it play. Okay, now get out of here. You got time to sleep, you got time to sweep.
Yep, time to lean, time to clean. Here we go, people. I need those roll-ups done. Let's get those roll-ups done and get them in a bucket. Everybody's going to do 30 roll-ups at least. Also, you're not pushing the specials. Now, they're called specials for a reason, because we don't have them every day. So push the specials.
Push the fish. God damn it.
We can't keep it. No. I need to sell it today.
So welcome to TGI Buddhas. Apple Buddhas. That's funnier. God damn it. Okay. We've got this for the What Does This Mean segment, and we have to read it. Greg, I don't know which side you're going to lean on. I have a sneaking suspicion. I know which way you're going to lean. This is, says Marcy again. Marcy previously emailed in about her smoking roommate. Yeah, and then she pitched the zoo date, and we all had a real big laugh at my expense. Put a zoo date together. If you don't know what that is, go back to that episode. But she's basically,
you know what turns me, you know what turns me on? The llama.
Well,
as soon as I get you in front of that llama,
forget it. Cancel all your plans. So Marcy says, "Hey guys, thanks so much for the advice last week about my smoking roommate. But I'm writing in again because I'm offended." I'm offended that Kane had the gall to hate on my zoo date. The idea was supposed to be bad, okay? It was meant to suck. That was the joke. This is all her writing. But Kane hates my idea. She's italicizing. But Kane hates my idea when he's the one who made the movie theater date and the in full cap silent date. And sincerely thought they were good ideas. I know the argument is that Kane impressed Raina somehow. Oh,
whoa.
With the movie theater date, but that was a miracle. Yo, miracles happen sometimes. My idea is not worse than yours. Love you guys, Marcy.
I think we found a new host.
Yo. First of all, Marcy, I haven't listened to that episode, but I was, you know, if you're not offended and you're just coming at me again, roasting me, congratulations. You crushed two episodes in a row. Very good. If you are sincerely offended that I took shots at your zoo date, well, welcome to my world, Marcy. How does it feel, motherfucker, to pitch a date and have everybody hate it, huh? How does it feel? Now you know what it's like to be Kane. Not good. Not a good feeling, is it? Mm-mm. You think you're going to pitch something and everyone's going to enjoy, and then someone takes one little, you're an idiot, and then bang, you don't feel good. This is like fucking 50 episodes of this shit.
Amazing.
Fucking Marcy.
Amazing.
Marcy's my favorite person. She's my favorite listener. I have to say, she don't take no guff from no one, which is the new title of the show, by the way. Welcome to You Don't Take No Guff.
You don't take no guff.
Speaking of pitching dates to people, Pat actually found something on Reddit. It's actually a positive thing to find on Reddit, and it's about pitching a new date idea. Pat?
It's not actually a date idea, but very reminiscent of the idea surrounding your date ideas. So, and it's so unusual for me to find something positive on Reddit, I thought this was something I should bring to the show. Growing up, I didn't realize how poor we were. My parents were amazing at providing for us. We loved watching baseball games, and I wanted to go to a game so bad we could never afford it. To make up for it, while we were at school, my mom made up tickets to that night's game and money for us to spend. When we got home, she had set up chairs in front of the TV and numbered them, gave us the tickets and the money, and told us to go clean up before the game. Come game time, we lined up at the doorway. My dad took our tickets and told us how to get to our seats. After the game started, my parents went to the kitchen and had a tray of hot dogs, candy, and soda. Hot dogs, get your hot dogs. We got out the money my mom made and bought whatever snacks we wanted. Best baseball game I've ever been to.
You know how I feel.
Call family services.
Yeah, you don't have like $20 a piece to go to a goddamn game.
Oh, no.
This is shit. Oh, fuck. My dad was the poorest motherfucker I knew. One time we were at the drive-thru at McDonald's and we were getting dinner. And my dad was like, this is my last, like, I think he said this is like my last $15 or something. And I started laughing. He goes, no, seriously, this is the last $15 I have on me. And it was a really scary moment in my childhood where I was like, what's next? You know, do we have gas to get home? Like, I almost felt guilty ordering the cheeseburger. And we still went to Mariners games.
Oh, your dad is perfect.
Did I already share this on the show? One time my dad and my uncle took me, I think it was like for my 13th birthday, to, it was known as Safeco Field at the time, to see a Mariners game. During the, like, I think it was like the sixth inning, they do happy birthday announcements. And it's my uncle on one side, my dad on the other side. And my uncle goes, hey, but they go, all right, we're going to do baseball and happy birthday announcements to all of our Mariner fans out there. And my uncle elbows me and he goes, check it out, buddy. And I look up and me and him are watching the screen and they go through all of the names. I don't see mine. And then they start the inning. And then my uncle like looks over at my dad. My dad's just kind of like looking off, like he doesn't know what's going on.
Oh no.
And my uncle's like, hey, what the fuck? And my dad goes, huh? What? He goes, what happened to putting Kane's name on the birthday thing? And my dad goes, oh yeah, no, I forgot.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I'll never forget it. Because I really truly didn't. I was like, this is the best birthday I've ever had. I love going to baseball games and going to one on my birthday. And I'm with my two favorite people. And then I have like a second gift and now I'm all like stoked. And then it doesn't happen. You know what? It's the same with the fucking, when he said I was getting a TV and when I opened up the box, it was a bread maker. He's done it again. He's done it again. And he never bought the TV.
Oh my God, that's spectacular. Spectacular.
Oh shit.
Oh my God. All right, we'll be right back.
Let's not forget, if you don't have your notebooks yet, your Don't Take Bullshit From Fuckers notebooks, you can find them on Redbubble.
Yeah, get some merch. Support the show.
We got bound notebooks, spiral notebooks.
Spiral, yeah.
T-shirts, sweatshirts, sweaters, pillows.
Get a pillow.
Don't be sleeping on these pillows unless you buy one and you actually sleep on these pillows.
How many other shows offer a pillow?
So check out our Redbubble store. The link is in our bio. Yeah, if you want our logo, or do you also want one of our most frequent and famous catchphrases, always be blocking on all your shit, check out our Redbubble store. The link is in the bio. Speaking of always be blocking, we have an email in from Anonymous, different Anonymous, says, lesson learned. Hey guys, this is going to be a long one. Apologies in advance. I wanted to share this story sort of as a cautionary tale, but also a reminder to my fellow listeners to always be blocking. Last November, I wrote in about my partner at the time, who is a Trump supporter, anti-vaxxer, and was basically making me feel like I was the crazy one for being involved with the Pride movement. Oh, yeah.
I remember this.
Yeah. You recommended I run for the hills, but in my drunken love state, I convinced myself that I could change her and we could work things out. And so I stayed. Long story short, we got engaged 6 months later.
Oh, no.
No fucking way. And I almost married a narcissist. This is my therapist's description for this person's behavior. Yeah. I don't know if you were in therapy before you met her or she's the cause of you getting therapy, but I'm very proud of you for getting
into therapy. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
I eventually got out of that toxic relationship and moved to another city. Great. I recently got back on the apps and started talking to this new girl. She seemed nice and interesting at first, but she was coming on a little too strong. That raised a red flag for me because I now know what love bombing looks like. I told her I wanted to take things very slow as I just got out of a serious relationship. She said that she understood and can handle that, and we made plans to go out for drinks. 2 days before that, she messages me one evening asking how I'm doing. I tell her I was out for drinks with friends. She then gets annoyed with me saying, I know what that means. You're on a date.
Oh, wow. Healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
Super healthy. Love it.
I was taken aback because I hadn't even met this person yet. You haven't even met yet. Ugh. And she's already acting territorial. So I asked her why that would bother her, considering her and I haven't met and there's no commitments or promises between us whatsoever. She tells me that she had hoped I would put all my eggs in one basket, but now she would like to go out on our date ASAP before someone else steals me first.
Wow, this girl's doing well.
Oh my God. That is the definition of codependency. I mean, it's
totally.
That's crazy. I have to admit, a part of me was a little flattered that she was that interested, but I was still very cautious. So I told her I'm happy to have drinks with her the next evening, but I'm not about to make any commitments to her now beyond a drink. The date was fine, but something still felt off. So when she asked to come home with me, I said no, and I wasn't ready for a first kiss either. The next morning, she calls me asking what I was up to. I tell her I'm making breakfast and then heading to work. She says, I see. So you're selfish. You don't think to at least invite me over for breakfast? What the fuck? She rejected your sexual advances and stopped a first kiss from happening. Yet she's supposed to hit you up and be like, but you want to come into my house in the morning before I go to work?
For breakfast?
For fucking breakfast? What the fuck? Okay. For a second, I thought she was joking, but then realized she actually meant it. So I told her, yeah, I'm selfish that way. One evening she calls me. She always wants to talk for an hour over the phone twice a day, which I find to be excessive. Holy shit.
How are you not already done with this?
I know. I told her I was tired and just needed some quiet alone time. She then gets upset and says, are you saying I'm loud? Dude, okay.
She wants to fight so bad.
Yeah. Like, yeah. The moment she's like, I know what drinks means, you're out on a date. It's like, yeah, so I'm texting you while I'm out on a date with someone else. So, like, I'm toxic, you're toxic. Let's really fucking mold ourselves together. But she's not out on a date. She's out with friends. How is it not immediately you see that and you're like, oh, I'm never talking to this person ever again.
Ever
again. At that point, I realized it was time for me to block her. Great. For a minute, I felt bad about it, but then I remembered the horrors the last fucker put me through, and I'm not about to take a chance on someone who's giving me so many red flags. So, gentlemen, thank you for the weekly reminder to always be blocking. Always be blocking.
Always be blocking.
Oh, and fellow listeners, watch out for narcissists. They don't just break your heart. They break your spirit, too. Wow.
Amazing.
All of that.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that you've got your blocking skills in order.
Yeah,
because you got engaged to the Trumpy.
Yeah. Like if you're Republican or whatever, you know, we're not a political show, but it's like as long as no one's screaming at each other, or there's like a healthy discussion about it, whatever. But this person is unhinged. You didn't even get to the point where you found out what they believed in. You just saw what they were like as they were trying to get to know you and they were acting this way.
Right.
Oof. Be the Bruce Lee of always be blocking. And then we have, on one episode, we shared about a guy who gave a woman an orgasm so intense she saw ducks.
Yes.
So we got a message that went away from, well, Anonymous. She says, hi, I hope you're doing well. I missed my last Oversharers Anonymous meeting again. This Anonymous listener of ours heard that episode and then sent us a message about a time where she saw the heavens and earth move in her orgasm. That she also saw like farm animals and other things during an intense lovemaking session. So it is possible. People see intense
agriculture. They see intense agriculture.
I've yet to see ducks. I'm so upset.
I haven't seen ducks either, but I want to see agriculture. I want to see wheat fields and old barns.
I want to be transported to the zoo date during an orgasm.
Llamas.
Llamas. Oh, shit. Yo, we got a Reddit remix up in this bitch. Reddit remix. My girlfriend is mad because I was on Tinder, but she's got it all wrong, baby. It's not what you think, girl. I can't wait. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So basically, my girlfriend caught me on Tinder. And I know that sounds bad, but it's all a big misunderstanding. Let me explain. I'm a UI developer. The company I work for designs mobile apps for other companies. And
we Here we go. Here it comes.
And we were put on this project
the
other day.
You know, I have a podcast about relationships, so I got on Tinder.
We were put on this project the other day. It's a big deal. And as such, I wanted to make sure that the end product was executed flawlessly.
Uh-huh.
I decided to do some research in my off time and made a point. In my off time, I wanted to do some research. This guy really, you know, he's dedicated. You can't, you gotta love a guy who's dedicated to the craft. If anything,
yeah, he cares about it.
Yeah, he does it for the love of the game, baby. He's not trying to get laid. And made a point to download and examine the UI of every app that I could. And I wanted to see what worked and what didn't. Social network apps, news apps, banking apps, you name it. I studied them all. And stupidly, dating apps. My girlfriend was using my phone the other day when she noticed that I downloaded Tinder. She immediately started freaking out. When I finally got a chance to explain that it was for work, she calmed down a bit, but then she opened the app and immediately started crying because I stupidly had made a profile.
Oh my God. Oh my God. We have to see how they work.
Yeah, yeah. You can't be on Tinder and not.
Let me ask you something. Having never been on those apps, do you have to join them?
Yeah, you got to sign up. You got to create a whole
thing. Do you pay for them?
No, you can, but not these ones. Tinder's free.
Okay.
You just put up pictures of you doing sexy things, and you try to swipe your way to some sexcapades. That's essentially all Tinder is.
Okay.
I explained to her that having an account was a key component of the app we were contracted to develop, so of course I had to make a profile in order to fully evaluate the user mechanics.
And, sure.
You know, that's why I was on Pornhub. Yeah, I had to create a profile. I know it's free, and I can search for whatever I want. But
Pornhub, how am I going to understand the user mechanics?
I need to understand Pornhub. So of course I had to make a profile in order to fully evaluate the user mechanics. And it was no different than the accounts I had made for YouTube and Bank of America. Okay. All right. You don't need to put your picture on your Bank of America. You don't need.
No.
The Bank of America doesn't need what your hobbies. You don't need to put your fucking that you go to the gym 24 hours a day and a picture of your dog. She trusts me and knows that I'm serious about my work. So she accepted this explanation until she saw that I. I love this so much. But then that I stupidly had actually matched with some women. Oh, man. This is so great. Okay, so she saw that I was on Tinder, but I calmed her down because I told her I'm working on a thing. But then she saw that I made a profile and started freaking out. But then I said, that's part of how I work. But then she saw that I matched with some people. It's like every time he's like, it's good. We're not good. It's good. We're not good. I admitted to her it looked bad, but that I was truly trying to evaluate its functionality.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And my interest in it was strictly professional because if this project goes right, the bonus I could get could change our lives.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to get every perspective I could.
So I fucked this girl. Now, hang on. Hang on. As the user of the app, I had to have the experience that the user enjoys.
You didn't have to have sex with her.
No, I had to fuck her because otherwise I don't know how the user feels.
I could have explained it to you perfectly. I met you on Tinder.
I know, met you. You don't understand.
Okay, understand.
I had to fuck this girl because what does it say? Now what does it say?
Okay. At this point, I realized we were barreling towards the cliff, and I tried to avert disaster by explaining to her that before she opens my inbox, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, messages? This is incredible. Dude, okay. She should know that a chat component is a huge part of the upcoming project and that she can also check my messages to Facebook friends and DoorDash delivery drivers because I was just as friendly to them.
Oh my God, what an asshole.
You sexually harassed your DoorDash delivery guys? Dipshit. She wasn't having it at this point and stormed out of my apartment. I get it, looks bad. I realize now that I should have left out the dating apps from my research, but sometimes I take work too seriously for my own good.
You're a dipshit.
Is this salvageable? Do you think if I showed her this post, she would understand, or is the trust broken forever? I guess it would be relevant to mention she has trust issues from a previous relationship.
With an app builder.
That was a roller coaster ride.
That was great.
I was so happy the whole time. Wow. No, it's over. She has trust issues because she keeps dating dipshits like you. You fucking idiot.
So I got a new girlfriend, which is part of the user experience.
And I was doing a dating app. This time, Grindr. And look, I know it looks bad, but I had to download it, make a profile. I met a guy. We had sex. good stuff. Good stuff. I mean, we don't need to give any kind of... I mean, we all know this guy's dumb and he fucked it up. And that relationship is over and God bless. Good luck. Good luck and God bless. And as the disgruntled Buddha would say, what do you want from me? I don't know. Sometimes you're sick. Sometimes you're on Tinder. And just break up with him. I don't give a shit. I'm going to watch them. I got to go keep up with the Kardashians.
That's our show. Thanks for listening. I'm Greg Barron. It's Gregors on Instagram. You're at Kane Holloway.
Absolutely.
Kane Holloway. DTBFF podcast on Instagram as well. Hit us up.
Send us some memes. We love everything that you guys said about us and all the sharing. You guys shared the shit out of the show. Keep sharing it. Tag us on Instagram. You know, let us know that you're listening, that you enjoy the show. Let us know what you want to hear next. If you have anything, any future guests you would love to hear on the show, you can message that to us too. Of course, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/DTBFFpodcast. We do all kinds of bonus episodes over there, and we interact with you as well on that. Rate, review the show on iTunes and everywhere else. And of course, don't take bullshit from fuckers.
Fuck them.
Hey there. If you like the show, you can find bonus episodes and more at our Patreon at patreon.com/DTBFFpodcast. And then rate the show 5 stars on iTunes because it's the right thing to do. All music by the Reigning Monarchs, produced by Patrick Elliott.